right. Good morning, everybody. Happy Labor Day weekend. I'm so glad that we're able to, even though we have two services, we're able to celebrate the baptisms at both services. I'm also glad, of course, you know, because of people getting baptized at the first service, a lot of people swapped and went to that service, but I'm glad you folks are here at this service, so it isn't just me and Randy. So I appreciate that you're hanging with us this Labor Day weekend at the 11:30 service. Well, baptisms and hearing those stories, what a reminder, what an encouragement for us to go out and do what these guys are doing, proclaiming that they belong to Jesus, telling the world what Jesus did for them. And we should do the same thing. And of course, that's easy to think about and talk about when we're in the church setting. Easy to stand up for Jesus here, worship him here, talk about him here at church. But when we get outside of these walls, we go into our schools and our neighborhoods and our workplaces, then living for Jesus looks a little different. It could be a little harder. And so I thought I'd leave you. I got the opportunity to give you a little sermonette, all right? We heard a lot of sermons today from these stories. And so I'm coming up with a little sermonette here for Labor Day weekend, since it is Labor Day weekend, since our kids are back in school. I thought, let's talk about living for God out in the world, outside of the walls of the church. Today's message, and you want to get your outline out for it, is entitled, Working for a Living God. Working for a Living God. And if you're my age, or maybe a little bit older, you may have thought of the Huey Lewis song, working for, you know, I'm taking what they're giving because I'm working for a living. You know, yeah, no, that's, they don't let me sing anymore on the praise team either, so that's our, I appreciate the woo that I get when I get it. Thank you. So of course, I know that's cheesy to rip off Huey Lewis and use that for my sermon title, but cheesy helps you remember, and I'm not above it. So I will use that. What I think is important to highlight, what I think this helps highlight, is that if you're a Christ follower, you aren't just working for a living. You aren't just working for a living, you're working for the living God. No matter what you're doing, you're working for your God. You're living and worshiping him wherever he's got you. Scripture teaches us this. Look at Colossians chapter 3, and you can help me out in Scripture today when we get to the yellow print. The Apostle Paul wrote this, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Now, do you know this particular section of this letter to the Colossians, do you know who Paul's addressing in this letter? Slaves, the Christian slaves there. Now, of course, it was Christian biblical influence that ended slavery in the Western world. We're thankful for that. And yet there's still more work to do with the atrocities of human trafficking. There's places in the world where slavery is still practiced even openly. We need to keep working against that. I'm thankful for Revelation 18:13, which says that slave traders will be judged. We can be thankful for that. But my point of using this passage today is this. If the Apostle Paul, being carried along by the Holy Spirit, can tell slaves and servants that what they do, they should do it with all their heart because they're truly working for the Lord, well, how much more for you and for me in our school, in our workplace, as a stay-at-home parent, keeping track of your home and your family, even as in retirement, helping out with the grandkids, being a good neighbor, getting involved in community projects and service, wherever you are, wherever God has planted you, whatever you do, we're called to do it with all of our heart because we're working for the Lord. Now, there's a myth about work. And sometimes when you talk about work, you get bad attitudes because not everybody's got the greatest job or a job that they absolutely 100% love. And so there's this myth about work being punished. Isn't that in the curse? Isn't work like punishment? Doesn't it say that somewhere in the Bible that work is punishment? Well, let's look back. When Adam and Eve first sinned, I know it can feel that way. it can feel like punishment. This is what God said to Adam and Eve. He's pronouncing a curse after mankind sinned against God, separated themselves from relationship with him, and in ushered the curse here. And part of it, this is a part of it, God says, I have placed a curse on the ground. All of your life, you will struggle to scratch a living from it. You see, well, there it is, Chris. That work is a curse. How can we talk about work in a positive way? Well, hold on a second, because if work were the curse there, well, then we wouldn't see it before the fall, right? There wouldn't be work in the garden, in paradise. You know, that'd be a time of just kicking back like an all-inclusive resort, you know? But look at this. Let's go a chapter before this. This is before Adam and Eve sinned against God. God had just built the people. And he said, it reads, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And so work isn't punishment. No. Work is worship. It's a form of worship because God made us in his image. And God is a worker. The pages of the Bible, they open up to our God building the universe. Our God is a worker. And he's made us in his image to be like him in some ways. And this is one of those ways to be at work. The New Testament puts it like this. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And so when we do the work that God made us to do, and when we're doing it for him, not just for the bank account or for the new boat or whatever it is your goal is, even good things, but we're working for God first, it's worship. Today's main idea is this: worship while you work. Okay, you caught on, right? I used another song. My last time on purpose. Yes, of course, whistle while you work. Thank you guys for doing that, because I can't whistle, not well at all. So that's why I removed whistle, which I can't do, and I replaced it with worship, which we ought to do. The number one thing we ought to do with our work, whatever we find to do in this life. And so we're going to look at two, with the rest of the time we've got, two big ways. There's lots of ways to worship, but here's two that we can worship God at work. And the first one, you want to write it down, is to give thanks. Give thanks. Thanksgiving is at the heart of worship. Think about when we sing praises here together, we're proclaiming who our God is and what he's done, how awesome he is. And in the midst of that, we're thanking him for that. We're thanking him for all he is and all he's done. And if that's such a huge part of worship, well, then if we're going to worship God in our homes and in our studies and at work, well, it's got to involve thanksgiving. Scripture teaches us this. This is back in Colossians again. This is another one of those "in whatever you do" passages. In fact, I'm highlighting that so you don't think I'm just reading to you the same passage over and over again. No, Paul says this a couple of times in his letter. And you can help me out when we get to the yellow print. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Giving thanks in whatever you do. Now, I know you might think, well, that's good for those who love their jobs, Chris. You know, you probably love your job, and I do, by the way. You people are very fine to work with, and I've got a great boss sitting there looking right at me. So, you know, I better say that, right? But I know that there are people that are miserable in their work. If they can even find work in their trade. Right now, there's a lot of openings, but there's also tough times. And you look at this, you say, be thankful. Yeah, right. But church, I want to tell you what Scripture says. Not just my opinion, not just my experience. This is Scripture, all right? In 1 Thessalonians, it reads, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. If we belong, if we truly belong to Jesus, then we really do have reason to be thankful in any circumstance, even the very worst. Our relationship with Jesus alone is infinite reason. That means it never ends. Infinite reason to give thanks to God every day, no matter what. Beyond this, hard as it may seem when we're going through it, when we go through these rough times, we can be thankful that God is at work in those times. He's working on us. James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote it like this. He said, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." These things that we're reading from Scripture, the original audience hearing it, these first century Christians were facing imprisonment for their faith, facing beatings, facing public and social rejection, kicked out of synagogues and families. They were tortured and beaten, and I guess beaten is tortured, and put to death because of their faith. And yet, they're being told by these authors of Scripture, carried by the Holy Spirit, to give thanks. Give thanks. God is at work, and you have reason. This world is hard. And of course, some face very much harder situations than others. I know there are many here that are facing way harder situations than I've ever faced. I know that. But the Jesus follower always has real hope. We always have real reason to give thanks all the way through it. Here's just a few things. I didn't put them on your outline. Maybe you take a picture of the screen and you can look up these passages later. They're great, encouraging passages about the way God provides for us, and we've got reason to give thanks as they relate to our work. I think this relates. For one, he gave us our lives. He set us here on this planet. He made us. He gives us our skills. He grants us our wins and our promotions. Those ultimately come from God. They all come from God. He meets our needs, not always our wants, not always what we think we need, but what God knows we need. He's going to meet that for us. He's going to take care of his children. And he brings us through the hardest times. Romans 8. He'll carry it. Even if he doesn't pluck us out of it, he will carry us through to the end. We will not be ultimately destroyed, but we'll be safe in his hand all the way through. And so let's add thanksgiving to our daily to-do list. When you get up in the morning, before you go to work, you don't have to wait till Sunday to worship. We get to worship our God every day in everything that we're doing. Even when you're changing that dirty diaper, it smells, woo! what did you eat today? You can thank God for a working digestive system in your little one. Truly. You can thank God that he blessed your son or your daughter with a loving parent who cares for her to keep her clean and healthy. And so I'm not saying you have to like the smell of the dirty diaper. I'm not saying you need to like the bad situations, but we can give thanks right in the middle of them. When you're feeling overwhelmed with life or with work, just stop, fall down, and give thanks. And then pour out those needs to Jesus, trusting that he will meet your needs. He really will. Maybe you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You've heard of these folks that shared with you. I point to the baptism tag. I guess you were noticing them up there. You heard from these folks their testimonies about their relationships with Jesus. I want to talk to you for a minute if you would say, I don't have that relationship, because I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. This isn't a message of, oh, you don't like your work? Well, just think positive thoughts and count your blessings or something. This isn't a psychological trip. There are lots of surveys that say thankful people are happier people, and we've probably read them or articles that reference them. That's true. But this isn't about I'm talking about a real person. I'm talking about the living God, Jesus. Having a relationship with him will give you real reason. It's not just positive thinking. It's real reason for thanksgiving no matter what. And so if you don't have that relationship, maybe you're ready now. Maybe you're ready now. You've heard what other people have said and how Jesus has impacted them, and you're ready. I want to let you know, the Bible teaches that we're separated from God by our sin. Started with our first parents. We read a little bit about that earlier when Adam and Eve sinned, but it continues in us. But God loved us so much, he sent Jesus into the world, God the Son, in human flesh, to die on the cross, paying the penalty for our sin. We were separated from God, but Jesus took the separation in our place. And then he arose from the dead, proving that he beat death, that he really is God like he claimed to be. And now any one of us who trusts in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, commits our life, surrenders our life to him, can cross over from death to life and have that relationship that will get you through anything, no matter what. If you'd like to do this today, maybe you'd like to talk with somebody or pray with somebody. After the service, we'll have our pastoral prayer team down here. They love to talk with you about this and pray with you about this. Make today the day you enter into that relationship, and then you've got reason to give thanks no matter what, because of your relationship with Jesus. Let's look at our second big way to worship God at work. You want to write this one down, and that's to stand out. To stand out. We worship God by giving thanks. We also worship God by standing out. Jesus himself calls us to do this, to stand out for him with our whole lives. He said this to his followers, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden." We're about to do a little standing out. We've got our Reach for the Streets campaign. We've been praying. We've been walking around the neighborhoods, praying for the people that live around us, praying for them to be hungry for God, praying for ourselves to have the guts to share the gospel with our neighbors who God loves, who we ought to love like God loves. And we're going to go out and do it this Saturday. Maybe you signed up. We're going to be doing it this Saturday from 11 to 12. We'll meet here and get grouped and get our assignments. And so I hope to see you there. If you didn't sign up, but maybe you're feeling led to today, you could still do that. I bet you know where to do that. my.stonycreek.church. And click, registrations. I looked away from my manuscript. That's what happens. I got off the teleprompter. All right. I hope you will feel led to do that. But you know what? Whether you do that or not, just for the record, this Saturday for that 1 hour and the people that sign up to go door to door to invite people to church, to see if we can be of any assistance to people, to share the gospel with people, to see if we can be praying for people. That's not the only time and place or people that should be standing out for Jesus. We all are called to stand up, to stand out for Jesus at the place where God has planted us, and this is an act of worship. Now, I know I work at the church, and so it's easy to fire back with, yeah, Chris, well, everybody expects you to stand out for Jesus. You're a pastor. It'd be very weird if you didn't talk about Jesus, you know, and you hid your faith. That would be really weird to do that. Okay, but for the record, I did work over a decade before I got this job outside the church doing different things. And even today, guys, like just because I punch out, you know, the clock here, I need to stand up for Jesus in my neighborhood, by the bus stop, waiting for the kids, at the family get-together, wherever God takes me. That's where he's got me right now, to stand out for him. Even on a vacation. I'm not taking a vacation from belonging to the Lord, right? And so I want to share with you a couple of ways that I've learned over the years to stand out for Jesus wherever he has me. And I don't always do these well. I'm not saying look at my great job or anything like that. No, I need a daily surrender to the Lord over and over again. Ask to be filled with the Spirit so that he'll lead me to do these kinds of things, all right? But I just want to share them with you with the little bit we have left here. The first one, and you want to write it down, first way to stand out, and it's an act of worship, is with integrity. Write down integrity. Jesus said this to his disciples, and you can help me out here. He said, if you are faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in the large ones. All right? Jesus cares about the little stuff. He cares about it. If you are untrustworthy with worldly wealth, who will trust you? Oh, sorry, you were supposed to join me, and I got excited reading, and I jumped ahead. All right, if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? It all matters. It all matters. Jesus is watching,
And we're to be worshiping him with the big things and with the little things, even the most mundane tasks. Because it's not just the task, it's how we do it that's worship, you know? I trusted in Jesus in my senior year of high school. And I've got a little confession. It's quite embarrassing, actually, for me. But at the time, beginning my senior year, I had a 3.5 GPA. That's not the embarrassing part. So, wait. No, that's pretty good. I think that's a B, B plus, something like that. 3.5. By graduation, after trusting in Jesus, my GPA went all the way to 2.7. I dropped down to a C plus average. And I'll be honest with you, I was so blown away by what Jesus had done for me, and I was thinking about how my eternal life had been saved, and, you know, I've got this work to do for him. I got to share my faith with the people around me. I don't have time to worry about little things like school and stuff like that. And so, you know, I was sharing my faith left and right with people. I really was, but I was also blowing a lot of things off, a lot of things in my life that I ought to have been more serious with. I was blowing off homework to hang out with the Christian band that I was in. And I justified it that way, like a teenager would, you know. They just add the Christianese to their excuse for why they're blowing off their responsibilities. I was doing that. I was disappointing my teachers. I had teachers pull me aside for class, like, what happened, Chris? And I'm like, yeah, this isn't really that important anymore. What a bad attitude. You know, I disappointed my folks who I was trying to share my faith with. I was trying to witness to my mom and dad. And they're like, yeah, great impact Jesus has had in your life, Chris. You know, you just tanked in your schoolwork. So far, no good, you know. And it was just irresponsible. It was really immature of me. As I continued to study the Bible, as I grew closer in my relationship with Jesus, I discovered that all of these details in our life are about him and for him. They really are. Even my studies, even I was working at McDonald's when I had to empty out the trash and bring it all out to the dumpster. I was to do that to the best of my ability as an act of worship to God. When I first applied for the job here as the youth pastor years ago at Stony Creek Church, I did not get the job. It took another 6 years for the church to finally hire me, break down and say, all right, Chris, fine, we'll give you a job. But, you know, by that time, I understood the Holy Spirit was revealing to me that God had me planted at the restaurant I was working at, Cracker Barrel Restaurant now, no longer McDonald's. Well, I don't know if that's an upgrade or not. You make your own decision. But that's where God had me, and I was to worship him there and stand out for him there. I thank God that he provided me with that job. It had flexible hours. I could go to school for ministry, and I could still volunteer and serve here at the church. God was working it out for me. And so I committed. I'm going to do the best I can to stand out as a good worker, as serious about my work and trustworthy and genuinely caring about everybody around me. And it leads to the second way we can stand up. So the first way is to be integrous, to have integrity. But the second way we can stand out for Jesus at work is to stand out for the gospel. Write down gospel. Paul writes this to the Philippians. I love this passage. He says, do everything without complaining or arguing. See, that's more of that, you know, in Christian integrity and attitude, good attitude right there. Being a godly person and having godly composure. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Why? So that you will become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. Help me out. In which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. We're called to shine like stars in the sky with the word of life. I didn't like my restaurant job. I really didn't like the work that I was doing there. I had to wake up at 4 a.m. I was dirty and smelly. I had to come right home and take a shower right away. I didn't even let my clothes get past the garage, you know, into the house. And, you know, if you've ever worked in the restaurant industry, every order is a deadline, right? You got to get that out in minutes. And so there's, like, stress in that. And, of course, if you flip those eggs too early and they're over easy instead of over medium, you hear about it. You know, the customer is yelling at the server. The server's coming and yelling at me because I cooked the eggs wrong. And you get all this stress and you wonder, why? I'm just cooking eggs.
Why is everybody so worked up here? Why am I so worked up? I just cook eggs. It was tough for me, at least. It was tough. You know, you might say, oh, well, because you're a wimp. You know, suck it up, Chris. I did suck it up, okay? I dealt with it, but I didn't like it. But you know what? I considered my friends and my coworkers there my mission field. I looked at missionaries that go into other countries where Christianity is illegal. They can't go there as missionaries. That can't be on their visa or whatever. They go there and they become financial planners. They get a job as an English teacher at a school or something like that. And while they're there, they begin sharing their faith and they begin a Bible study in a church. And that's how they accomplish the mission Jesus has sent them on. And I realized this is what I've got to do at Cracker Barrel. This is what I got to do wherever God has me. I got to work my best, be, you know, have integrity, stand out for, whoa, this is a guy who's trustworthy, who's reliable, who cares. But then I also need to open up my mouth and share the gospel and share my faith with people. I'm not just a good worker bee, all right? That's not the point of this sermon. Let's all be good worker bees. No, that's on the way to standing out for Jesus with the gospel. Christ follower, wherever God has planted you, Wherever you're at, you have a high purpose, which is to worship God by giving thanks, by standing out with your godly character and with the life-saving message of the gospel. Worship while you work. We're going to invite the band up for a closing song here. And let's stand together. We're going to worship while we sing. That was cheesy, too. I guess I had three cheesy lines today prepared for you. We're going to dedicate the offering. That's one of the ways we give thanks, right? We worship God with our tithes and offerings. We give thanks. He's provided for us. We can't outgive him, but we give back as an act of worship. And so maybe you've given online. Maybe you brought your offering here and you're going to put it in the box, the back of the auditorium, whichever it is. Well, let's dedicate those with thanksgiving to the Lord. And then we're going to worship him together. Heavenly Father, thank you for planting us where you've planted us. There are people in each of our lives who need Jesus, and you've put us in their lives for a purpose. God, I pray we would see that purpose. That it wouldn't just be about making this life more comfortable or better for us by getting the better job or the more money or the whatever. But that wherever we are in this moment, we'd realize we are in a mission field that you've prepared. And our job is to stand out with godly character and with the gospel message. Open up our mouths, Lord, to speak the word of life and to shine like stars. God, we give you this offering and dedicate it to you. To be used for your will and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.